I know it's gloomy outside, but don't bring it in here, okay? So let's try to keep the spirit up as much as we can here this morning. So if you would please, let's all stand, grab your Bibles if you would. We're just going to jump right into the first session here. Psalm 142, if you would please. I guess I didn't give you the address. Psalm 142. We're going to go from Are You Smarter Than a Fifth Grader to Bible. So we'll see if we can't bridge that gap here pretty quickly. Psalm 142. I debated on whether or not I should do a session this year. Previously, we've only had one speaker in years past, but I kind of like to do a little bit about the theme and kind of why that theme has been on my heart the last 4 years or so. And so I just like to do a brief overview of that. I guess would be the right word. But Psalm 142. Let's just read all seven verses here. Everybody there? Well, okay. All right. So I'm going to ask you throughout the period of the session here, I'm going to ask if you're with me. And the only appropriate answer is amen. Okay. So I'm going to say, are you with me?
Amen.
Okay. All right. So that's pretty good. So that's the standard. That's where the bar is set. You can only go up from there. All right. So Psalm 142. Verse 1, it says, I cried unto the Lord with my voice. With my voice unto the Lord did I make supplication. I poured out my complaint before him. I showed before him my trouble. When my spirit was overwhelmed within me, then thou knewest my path. In the way wherein I walked, have they privily laid a snare for me. I looked on my right hand and beheld, but there was no man that would know me. Refuge failed me. No man cared for my soul. Can we pause for a second? We're not finished reading it. But do you feel the words of the author? Do you feel, it's David, if you have a superscription on your under Psalm 142, it says, Mishael of David, a prayer when he was in the cave. And we're not going to talk much about that, but he was on the run for his life. And if you know anything about this account, you know that David was not alone. He had people with him. But isn't it interesting that even in a crowd, even in a room, even amongst people, you can still feel alone? So let's keep reading. Verse number 5. I cried unto thee, O Lord. I said, thou art my refuge and my portion in the land of the living. Attend unto my cry, for I am brought very low. Deliver me from my persecutors, for they are stronger than I. Bring my soul out of prison, that I may praise thy name. The righteous shall compass me about, for thou shalt deal bountifully with me. All right, Psalm 142, here's the title for the session this morning, Loneliness, the Battle That's Already Won. Loneliness, the Battle That's Already Won. So let's pray, and then I'll let you be seated, and we'll have just a short time of session here. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for the morning. Thank you already for the fellowship, the song, and all the things that have transpired. But now I pray that you'd help us to turn our attention unto your word. And Father, I pray that that people would be listening to your word, not merely to my voice, because I have nothing to say that would help people today, but I know that you do. And so I pray that you would be about the Spirit's business of talking to people, of bringing things to our mind, and that we might be willing to hear what you have for us this morning. Beloved, thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You all can be seated. Loneliness, the battle that's already won. You know, I fear a lot of the time, even amongst independent Baptist churches, even amongst college and career departments or classes, we have a lot of people who walk around as though they're defeated. Y'all listening? I fear that we are that we have people that show up on a Sunday morning, and that is when a Christian should be at their best. Right? A Sunday morning. Because if you are committed to living a life for God, then the cares of the week, whether it be work or family or friends or whatever your schedules look like, it can get tiring. It can be difficult. If you get refreshment from being around your coworkers, you're doing something wrong. What we should be doing is we should be recharged when we come to church. That is when we should be at our best. And I don't know about your church. I'll just talk about ours. Okay, we have a very good spirit at our church. I thank the Lord for that. But I wonder how much of it is genuine. Because whenever you shake somebody's hand and you say, how you doing? A lot of times the answer is, oh, I'm doing good. But they're not. Or we're not. Can we talk about us? Let's not talk about other people. Let's talk about us. How many times has someone asked how you're doing and you're not doing so good? Now, I'm not saying you should unload your baggage on everyone, okay? That's not quite what I'm saying. I want to fix the problem. Let's actually be okay. Let's actually be good in that sense. A lot of Christians walk around defeated. They walk around as though there's no victory in life. They allow things like the theme of loneliness to defeat them. But can I remind you this morning that the battle is already won? Did y'all hear that? The battle's already won. I've read the end of the book. It turns out pretty good for us. If you're saved, say amen. Okay, I believe that was most everyone. I hope that's true. It wouldn't be the first time that I've met someone who grew up in church and they're not really saved. I don't want anyone to doubt their salvation this morning, but I do think that questions are a good thing. Why did I say amen to that? How do I know that I'm saved? What did I do to get saved? What did Jesus do so I could be saved? These are all questions that we should ask to know the answer to. And if you don't, I want to challenge you now, before we go any further in the conference, you need to deal with that this morning. Brother Mason, how can you say that? How can you tell me what I should do? Well, because in 2 Corinthians 6, it says today is the day appointed. We don't know about tomorrow. We don't know about the drive home. We don't know what life has in store. So let's deal with that first. And then once we are saved, let's not walk around defeated. I'm convinced that one of the things that hurts the generations that we see now is loneliness. You know, my generation, I'm a millennial, okay, so I'm a little bit older than most of you. My generation was really the first one to grow up with social media, to grow up with online gaming, to grow up with, you know, with a phone in your hand. You know, I remember when the first iPhone came out. I remember all the kids, you know, middle school and high school when they started carrying iPhones. You know, when the cool belt clip came out. Remember that? The OtterBox. Yeah, you got a 12-year-old with an OtterBox. It's the wildest thing. And so I remember these things, you know, Game Boys and all these things that kids would bring to class. And it fueled this desire to no longer be with people. Because now your friends are online. Right, so you can go home after school, never talk to anybody at school. You can go home after school and get online with your friends. You don't know who they are. You don't know what they look like. You don't know anything about them, but they're your friend. Isn't that crazy? To say it out loud, it sounds crazy, doesn't it? But there's probably people in the room who do that. They come to church. They come to college and career class. They go to work. They never talk to anybody there. But they save that social time, if you can even call it that, for people that they don't even see. And this just fuels this thing that crops within us called loneliness. Now, I want to make a statement, and then I'll get back to the text here. Loneliness is an emotion. It's a feeling. Okay? Here's why I can say that. Because, logically speaking, there should be no one lonely in the room today. Have you looked around? Look how many people are here. We're not alone in the physical sense. But I wonder how many emotionally or spiritually they feel very much alone today. When they go throughout their week, they feel very much alone. You know, I've been teaching the college and career class for about 5 years now here at Calvary. And I've had people who have said, Brother Mason, I feel lonely. They may not say it exactly that way, but that's what they're getting at. I feel lonely. I feel like no one talks to me. I feel like no one wants to engage with my life. You know, I serve and I do this stuff and I do that stuff. The answer is never doing more stuff. Almost never. The answer is being present where you are. And choosing not to find comfort in human relationships. I've known married people who are very much lonely. I think it was Brother Alder, maybe, in the men's session last night, was talking about there's a thing worse than being single. It's marrying the wrong person. Getting into a marriage like that, getting into a relationship like that. Listen, guys, I'm just telling you, it'll breed loneliness in the heart. You know, I seem to recall several verses, several principles in the Word of God where God tells directly, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. That was true of Old Testament Israel. It's also true in Hebrews, in the New Testament. God does not want his people to be alone, to feel alone. A lot of you profess to be saved, I believe, based on your answer earlier. And so, biblically speaking, doctrinally speaking, you're never alone anyway. So the question is, if you feel alone, why did you leave God? He didn't leave you. He's told us he won't. So why do we feel lonely sometimes? I'm not diminishing that. I'm stating it as a fact. It does happen. So let's look at Psalm 142. And I asked you earlier as I was reading, specifically at verse number 4 is what caught my attention, where it says this. I'll read it one more time. It says, I looked on my right hand and beheld, but there was no man that would know me. Refuge fail me. No man. What's the next word? No man cared for my soul. Now, I think that there's a responsibility, I think, that there's a principle that we can draw from that, practically speaking, that we should care about people. Do y'all agree with that? I think that we ought to care for people. I think that the people God has put in our lives, they're there for a reason. Now, I've heard it said that some people are brought into your life as a blessing and others as a lesson. Take that how you will. But I believe that everyone in our life is there for a reason. And if that's the case, there shouldn't be anyone who walks away from an interaction with you thinking that you don't care. Because if you're a Christian, you ought to care. We ought to care about our community. We ought to care about our church folks. You ought to care about the people next to you. Now, I understand that through relationships and through different things, you know, we develop care for people. I understand that. But there should just be a general care among God's people. Absolutely, there should. So in Psalm 142, I think that we can see some things that might benefit us in loneliness, the battle that's already won. Y'all ready for an outline? Okay, I'm a Baptist preacher. We always have an outline. Okay, either that or it's just completely random thoughts. So we're going to stick with an outline here this morning and see what the Lord has for us here. So number one, how do we deal with loneliness? Okay, how do we deal with it? Well, first of all, you have to want to get better. Did y'all catch that? For loneliness. When I feel lonely, and emphasis on feel, because it is a feeling, it is not a fact, more often than not. Okay? Whenever I feel lonely, I have to want to get better. Now, there might be someone thinking, well, Brother Mason, as I'm writing this, you know, of course I want to get better. Why would I not want to get better? Well, because humans are very good at this thing called self-pity. We're really good at it. We're really good at wallowing in it. We're really good at wanting to stay there and yet complain about it to other people. I've been around church a long time, guys. I'm just telling you what I see. Okay? Sometimes we want to stay there because it's comfortable. Because we know what it's like to be lonely. We don't want things to change. Does that make sense at all? You ever been there in your own life? Where you think, man, in some ways, I don't want to be lonely. But in other ways, I'm scared of what the alternative is. You might think, well, I would rather stay here and be lonely because in order to not be lonely, well then I might have to get up early and read my Bible. Or I might have to talk to people at church. Oh no, how terrible would that be? Sometimes we want to stay where we're at. And if you're here, obviously you're here this morning, okay? So those of us who are here this morning, if we want to live a life that is free of loneliness, we're going to have to want to get out of it. To the person who's sitting here and has no desire to follow the principles of Scripture, you're not going to get anything out of this conference. You will get out of it what you want to get out of it. If you come ready to receive what the Lord has for you, you'll walk away with something today. I have no doubt about it. Not because I'm such a great speaker. It might be because Brother Hadley is or Brother Alder is, but I'm not. And so, but you might get something, very little, but you will get what you put into it. And in this battle with loneliness, you have to want to get better. To the person who doesn't want to put in any effort, doesn't want to learn, shows up at church because if they don't, they're going to be asked about it and they don't want to deal with that conversation. Those types of people will not get any better. You have to want to get better. Everyone got that okay? Okay. So you have to want to get better. Now notice in verse number one, let's read some snippets here from the verses, okay? So notice this. If I want to get better, I'm going to have to control a couple of things. You ready? The first one is this. I cried unto the Lord with my what? With my voice. Be careful about the words that you say. Duh, right? That's all of us. Okay, be careful about the words that you say. Some broad application can be made there. But let's talk about loneliness for just a second here. You ought to be careful about how you frame things about your life. Brother Mason, I'm lonely. No one ever wants to talk to me. Things like that. Is that always true? Or are you just not looking for a conversation to have? How we frame things, how we say them, it matters a great deal. Y'all agree with that? Because voices show mentality. So notice in Psalm 142, what does David do with his voice? Well, he cries unto the Lord, doesn't he? He uses his voice. No, listen. He's got people with him in this cave. But instead of going around and saying, hey, Trenton, you know, man, I'm just feeling lonely. You know, and Jeremiah, I feel so hurt. Why don't you guys talk to me more? Never mind. You're you. So what, you know, why is this happening to me? You know, why is... Thanks for your answer. You know, and David, there's no implication here. There's no signal here that David is going around complaining to other people. He has at least enough self-control in the midst of loneliness, in the midst of probably heartache about his situation, in the midst of what secular therapy would probably call depression. In the midst of all of this, you know what he does? He cries unto who? Control your voice. Be careful about what you say. Be careful how you say things. Your voice reflects your mentality. And so if you make it a habit in verse number one to cry unto the Lord, that means that when he shows you things, you're more likely to listen. You're already talking to him. Y'all catching it? You're already talking to him. The lines are already open. But instead, when we're lonely, when we're feeling that way, instead of talking to the Lord, we most likely don't go up, we go out. We talk to our friends on the other side of the computer screen. We talk to someone else at church who might have the same mentality you do, and you two are probably not good for each other. I wish it was the case, it's just simply not. Not everyone in church is good for you. It's just the reality. I wish that wasn't the case, but it absolutely is. So be careful about who you keep company with. That's a different message for a different time. I'll leave that meat on the bone for one of the other preachers here. But listen, we need to be careful with our words. Y'all agree with that? You ever been around someone, and I'll move on to the next point here. You ever been around someone and you want to be nice to them, you want to be friendly to them, but you know the minute that you engage with them, they're just going to bring your spirit down. Hopefully no one at your church, but... maybe a coworker, maybe a family member, maybe a friend that probably shouldn't be your friend. Okay, you start engaging with them, and man, the first words out of their mouth, they're like Eeyore in the human form. You following? Oh, bother. Oh, woe is me. You ever know people like that? Are they fun to be around? Is that? Do you walk away thinking, oh, showers of blessing? Oftentimes the effect is they bring you down, you don't bring them up. Your words reflect these things. Now I'm dealing specifically with a personal issue of loneliness, but it's also true in a broader sense as well, where you should be the encourager. You should be encouraging people. Hey, if one of your friends comes to you and says, you know, I'm going through something, man. You know, we all have those seasons of life, don't we? Anybody else had a season of life where you think, man, I'm just going through it? Isn't it nice to be around someone who encourages, who says, hey, I'm praying for you, and you know they're actually praying for you? You know, some people say that, and you don't think that they mean it, right? But it's nice when you're around someone and they encourage you, and they kind of lift your spirits up, and you think, hey, you know, it is nice being around them. So first of all, be that person, but secondly, guard your words. Okay? Because it's a mentality, it's a feeling, loneliness is. So you got to want to get better, and by getting better, you have to control your voice, first of all. And secondly, a big one, you ready? You have to control your spirit. You have to control your spirit. You'll notice, I mean, it's all throughout this psalm here, but Psalm 142, verse 3, when my what? All to the other class, when my what? Spirit. When my spirit was overwhelmed within me, then thou knewest my path. It's easy to have an overwhelmed spirit. It's easy to have that overall feeling where I'm feeling lonely, I'm feeling alone. We're all up in our emotions. Okay, y'all with me? Yes? No? I know it's raining outside. Focus on this, okay? It'll be okay. It'll wash away. That's kind of how that goes. So when our spirit is overwhelmed and we're feeling lonely, one of the first things to go is often our words. Okay? And then when you stay there, that's where we have problems with our spirit. Then when your spirit is overwhelmed, when your spirit is lonely, your countenance, everything about you just reeks of loneliness. My friend, you're in a sorry state of affairs. Because at that point, when your spirit is overwhelmed, when your spirit is lonely, it's all you can think about. It's all consuming. I'm not going to ask you how many of you have experienced this, but I feel like it's probably a few. Probably a few of you have had a time in your life where you thought, I am just completely and utterly alone. Oh, you may be amongst a crowd of people. You may go to a good Bible preaching church. You may have people that care about you, but you don't want to see all that right now. Because your spirit is overwhelmed. And I want you to notice, David never takes his focus off of the Lord. He says, you know my path. You still know. Even when I can't even see it, even when my emotions are so great, my mind is so clouded, everything is just blurry. Does that make sense at all? Sometimes life can be like going to the eye doctor. One or two, A or B. And you go through that whole thing, and sometimes life just gets a little blurry, doesn't it? And you think, man, I'm done with this blurry one. Can I have the clear vision now? And that only comes, that perspective only comes by shifting your focus on the things of God. Now, let me ask you before I move on to my second point. Have I said anything that you've never heard before? Probably not, right? Y'all come from Bible preaching churches. Y'all come from people who care about you. Y'all probably have some family, some friends who probably believe like you do as well. I'm surmising a lot. I realize that. But I'm going off of that assumption. I've not said anything you haven't heard before. So here's my question. If you've heard it before, why on earth do we still feel lonely? Why does this keep happening in the life of a Christian? Maybe you know someone who battles very severely with loneliness. Or let's throw in some modern day lingo. Okay? This should be fun. Do you know someone who says that they struggle with anxiety or with depression or with mental cloudiness? Okay, there's all of these different terms. I'm not diminishing the fact that those things do happen. I have no doubt about it. My problem is, though, we oftentimes don't turn to the Lord. We either wallow in it, or we read a book, not the Bible. We read a book, or we go see someone who doesn't even believe like you do. How does any of that make sense? The issue is not necessarily mental. It's more spiritual than anything. So I'm just telling you, these are things that are not popular today. If there's someone here who isn't committed to believe in the Bible, you might have already tuned me out by now. But it's just simply the truth that loneliness is an emotional and a spiritual thing. You don't need to find help outside of the Bible. What you need to do is control your voice, first of all, and secondly, control your spirit. Start there. But before you do any of those, point number one, may I remind you, is that you have to want to get better. If you have no desire for the things of God, if you have no desire to have a victorious Christian life, if you have no desire to have joy or happiness or talk with people, if you have no desire to want to get better, I can't help you today. Brother Hadley and Brother Alder, they're both good preachers. Okay? They're not going to be able to help you today. You have to want this stuff. You have to believe that it is possible that through the Lord Jesus Christ, through the Word of God, that you know what? I don't have to sit here and wallow in loneliness my whole life. God wants so much more for you than to sit there and do nothing. Loneliness, my friend, will take you out of the spiritual battle. You'll be a soldier on the sideline. I don't know about you, but you know, when I was coming up through school, I'll tell you, I like to play sports. Was I good at it? No, not really. I enjoyed it though. I enjoyed the competitiveness. Okay, I enjoyed the last year that I played basketball. Right, we had to we went to the gym. We had tryouts. Okay, and we did all that. And then they said names will be posted on the board next Tuesday or whatever it was. So we're all talking, right? I was like, you know, I made more threes than he did. Like, he's garbage, right? So let's go over here. Let's talk about this guy. You know, so we're all talking about each other. And then you go and you see the names, and you're like, I'm a starter. Yeah. Nobody likes to warm the bench. Come on, man. Throw up. You know, we like to win. Y'all like to win? Man, wake up. Y'all like to win? Yes, we like to win. You like to get prizes like a sippy cup, right? We like to do things. We like that feeling of winning. Now, I know that there's pride, and we're not talking about that. Okay? Don't worry about that right now. All right? Just focus on the winning, all right? Sometimes it's nice to win. Agreed? In your Christian life, you should want to be a soldier who already knows that the battle is won. You're already a winner. If nothing else, listen, if nothing else, the retirement plan of a Christian's pretty good. Agreed? It's pretty good. But there's so much more to the Christian life than that. Now, that's part of the problem in outreach and soul winning, whatever your church calls it, is that we focus so much on heaven, we forget to tell people that life can be good now. You get to tell them that not only will you get to go to heaven, which should be enough, but also God wants to change your life now. And one of those parts is what we're talking about this morning of loneliness. All right, so number one, you have to want to get better. Number two, this one will go quite a bit faster. It should seem obvious, but I'm going to say it anyway. So number one, you have to want to get better. And number two, you have to actually want God's blessings. You have to want God's blessings. Now, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hands or anything like that. Just think with me, okay? If you grew up in church, you should know and understand how good it is to have the blessing of God on your life. You should be thankful, if you grew up in church, that God has probably shielded you from a lot of things. Both of my parents were saved here when I was 10. Okay, so I've been in church since that time. It took me about 3 years to finally understand the gospel and how that related to me. I'm a little bit hard-headed, okay? So I got saved when I was 13, okay? And so from ages 13 through 17, I was just trying to figure out life. Okay, what do I want to do? Where do I want to go? You know, people are asking the question, where are you going to go to college? What are you going to do with your life? You know, and you're like, I don't know. Anybody else been there? Sound familiar? Okay. So you're just thinking, I don't know, man, like, I just want to make it to breakfast tomorrow. You know, I don't know. I gotta pass this test first. You know, and people are asking me about life plans. And so I thought I knew the direction I want to go. I'll spare you all that. But the Lord ended up calling me to preach when I was 17. And I thought, surely not. Right? Lord, you called the wrong number or something. I don't know. I'm not that guy. I had a plan. I knew what I wanted to do. And so since that time, I wish that I could tell you that I did everything right. I can't say that. But I do know that by the grace of God, I'm not where I could have been if I had said no. I do know that. I don't know where I would be had it not been for God's calling on my life. I don't know where I would be had God not spoken to my parents and they got saved. And now me and my sisters got saved. And now I got two little girls. And I'm sure hoping that one day I'll see them saved as well. Now, in my family, everything has changed. We're not doing the things that we used to do. You remember, I was 10 when my parents got saved. I remember them throwing out the music that we used to listen to. I thought, what are we doing? Are we Amish now? What are you doing with my movies? Like, where's my music? Where's my video games? Well, back then it was like PlayStation, but anyway, yeah. And so, what are we supposed to do now? Are we just supposed to sit here and stare at the wall? And I remember thinking, I saw it happen. And I know that the effect on my life that has happened since then, only God can do. Now, I said all that to say this, okay? It is hard to articulate the amount of blessings that have happened in my life since age 13 to now age 32. And almost that 20 years of my life, I cannot tell you the amount of things that God has done for me and the amount of things God has protected me from. There's no way for me to calculate that. Sometimes when we calculate God's blessings, we try to use it like an investment calculator. And we think things like, oh, well, if I make this decision, the trajectory looks like this. Do I have any nerds in here? Do we have any nerds? Not the candy, the people. Okay, we have some nerds? Okay, so if you're a nerd, you'll appreciate this, okay? So sometimes when we look at life, we think, okay, maybe I want to go here, so where do I have to go? What do I have to do? Does that make sense? So you think, I want to be whatever, okay? I can't even think of a career. I want to be a firefighter for whatever reason, okay? I want to be a firefighter. And so what do I have to do to be a firefighter? I have to go to this course. I have to do this thing. I have to stay away from donuts because that's for cops, right? And so I got to do this thing, this thing, this thing, okay, to get to my goal. Are y'all tracking? The problem is we apply that sometimes to Christianity. And we do things like, you know, if we take a broad goal, you know, I just want to stay in church. Okay, good goal, I guess. So I'll just come Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, right? And I'll be there for conferences. I'll be there for revivals. Sometimes when we set those goals like that, what we unintentionally do is we never account for the variable of God's blessing. Because we think, I want to do this thing for God, or I want to be involved in this ministry, and God has something completely else in store for you. Does that make sense at all? Here's what I want you to get. Back to loneliness. You got to want to get better. And number two, you have to want God's blessings, whatever they are. There might be some young men here who don't know it yet, but God's going to call you to preach. Been there. I went to, when I was going through all that, I went to my pastor, and I said, Pastor, I don't know. I think God's calling me to preach. And best advice I ever got, you'll know. And I thought, what does that mean? You know, there's some other guys who are called to preach here, and so they, you know, don't know. And I thought, well, but I don't know. Like, that's why I asked, you know, because I don't know. And he said, you'll know. And he said, if you can do anything else and be happy, you should go do that. And I thought, and for a brief while, I thought, well, yeah, I mean, I'll just stick with my plan. What can go wrong? Man, when I tell you the next, I don't know, I don't remember exactly, the next 3 or 4 weeks probably, it seemed like every message Pastor preached, God was just eating my lunch, man. Because I already knew. I was just trying to rationalize what I already wanted. So I'm just telling you, God's blessings, they come in many different ways. And sometimes you don't think that you want them until you actually say yes. Might be some folks here who God might want to be a missionary. Or full-time Christian service. Or, hey, there's nothing wrong with being a faithful church member if that's where God wants you. Here at Calvary, we have a lot of folks who are just, and I say just, I don't mean it in any particular way. We have folks who are, man, they're so faithful. They have good testimonies, and they stay pure of the world. They're an encouragement to me, to the younger folks. We need all of those things. You're never going to get there. Listen, final few statements here. You ready? You are never going to get there. You're never going to reach what God wants you to do if you can't figure out how to deal with loneliness. We're in a culture that has pushed this stuff to the extreme. with everything being online. Y'all remember COVID? That was fun. That had a great effect on our culture. Sarcasm. Nothing but sarcasm, the last three statements, okay? It has not been good. And I fear that with everything, how everything went, we have technology just shot through the roof, didn't it? I now have Teams calls so many times a week, it makes me want to regurgitate. Because people don't want to meet anymore. That's just how the system started, and that's how the system's going. So I'm just telling you that loneliness, unless if it's dealt with now and continually, and you keep on top of it, it can happen to anyone. Anyone. I've known guys who went into the ministry doing what they think God wanted them to do as a pastor or assistant pastor or song leader or choir director, whatever that situation looked like. And in the middle of that, guess how they're feeling? Come on, guess how they're feeling? Lonely. How is that possible? How is it possible for a pastor to feel lonely? Well, I'm not a pastor, but these two are. Somebody they'll tell you later. It's absolutely possible. Doing what God wants you to do, if you don't nip it in the bud with loneliness. It's a battle that's already won, guys. You have to want to get better, and then you have to want God's blessings. Do you notice the common denominator there? Anybody catch it? What's the common denominator? It's you. And it's me. We all fight it. We all go through it. My question is, how do you deal with it? Psalm 142 is a great example. There's so many examples in Scripture. So many examples of where a hero of the faith, a giant of the faith, felt lonely. They may not use that word. And lonely is not in Psalm 142. Can you feel it, though? Can you feel it? So, defeat it now. Defeat it now. Not in your own power. Never in your own. But only through the Lord. Really quickly, how do we do that? Go to church. Go to church. I know who I'm talking to. I know that most likely, most everybody in the sanctuary today, you all go to church. Okay, great. Number two, be present at church. Anybody ever had a situation where you're physically there, but every other faculty is far from you? You come to church on a Sunday night, you're already thinking about work on Monday. So, go to church. Be present at church. Number three, read your Bible. No, I'm serious. Read your Bible. If we could somehow know this, there's no way that we could, so don't freak out, okay? If there was some way that I could just pinpoint one person in the room and go back in the last week and see how much time you spent in your Bible, I wonder what the answer would be. Some of us walk around with our King James Bible in our hand, look in the part, got a nice tie on. Guys, ladies, you have a nice dress on. Everything's good. Everything's good. Of course I read my Bible. How dare you assume I didn't read my Bible? That tells me you probably didn't. So listen, read your Bible. You need to pray. Brother Mason, I don't know what to pray. Okay, then just sit there and listen. It's a good rule for talking to people too. You don't know what to say? Just be quiet. Let them talk. Unless if it's two introverts, then no word will ever be said. But listen, you have to want this. That's what I'm getting at. You have to want to win. You have to want God to bless. You control this. God wants nothing but the best for your life. Y'all agree with that? Amen. Then don't limit Him. Don't pull yourself out of the race. Don't pull yourself out of the battle that we're in. Loneliness will do that. It will take you out. People have left the church. People have left the ministry because they couldn't deal with this. Sometimes it'll just be you and God, and you have to be comfortable with that. So I'm just telling you, loneliness, the battle you've already won, act like it. Act like a winner. Let's pray.